We are talking to Dr. Joshua Sharfstein, the Maryland Health Secretary, and he's also chairman of the Maryland Health Benefit Exchange. Dr. Sharfstein, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Sure, my pleasure.
And I guess tell our listeners, it's been a month and a couple days since Maryland launched MarylandHealthConnection.gov and its own version of the Affordable Care Act. In your mind, how have things been going? What are the latest figures? I know there were some of them released last Friday.
I think that what we've seen is a tremendous amount of interest. And so we see that in person, at events throughout the state, in the huge amount of traffic we've seen to the website, and all the calls that are coming into the call center. I think that on the website side, I think we've seen some gradual improvement, but as we said last week, we're not satisfied with the progress that's being made. And there's a lot more resources and effort being devoted to that over the next few weeks.
So your numbers last Friday were 4,500 had actually enrolled into a number of the exchanges that are being offered in Maryland. And that's actually more than at the national level. Is that a satisfactory number for you 1 month in?
Well, I think it's important to put into context. It's very hard to compare. I'm not sure that the federal government's even released their numbers yet. I think that's one of the questions that comes up is whether they're going to release their numbers or when. One of the things that's important to keep in mind in Maryland is that we had a pre-enrollment into the Medicaid expansion that kicks in January 1st, and we have more than 82,000 people pre-enrolled in the Medicaid expansion, so they don't need to go to the website. So some other states have much higher numbers than we do, but a lot of those numbers are for people in the Medicaid expansion who may have been pre-enrolled in Maryland. So it's hard to compare sometimes. Some of our numbers at the 4,500, some will be actually people choosing Medicaid, but the vast majority of people in the Medicaid expansion won't need to go through the new system in Maryland.
And the people that you are and have signed up for Medicaid, who are some of those people? What demographics are they coming from? And then how is that getting paid? I mean, is that obviously being funded by the federal government? They're putting a little bit in. How's it working?
Yeah, so that's 100% funded by the federal government for the new population. And in Maryland, there is a program that was actually started a while ago that provides just primary care benefits. It's called the Primary Adult Care Program. And it's for mainly single individuals or people who don't otherwise qualify for coverage. They don't get hospital coverage. They don't get specialist coverage. It's sort of a minimum benefit package. That's where those 82,000 people are right now. But that group automatically gets to participate in the Medicaid expansion starting January 1. So it's generally people with incomes below about 116% of poverty, so maybe, you know, for a family, it would be in the ballpark of about $18,000 a year. So they're now able to get the full Medicaid coverage when it starts, and they don't have to go to the website. So that's why it's kind of hard to look at these numbers and really know. We know that I would say that a number of people have been able to use the website and to click to enroll and choose plans, but we also know we need to do a lot better.
So tell me, I know there were a couple points last Friday in some of the messages you were all trying to get out, but what's not working with the contractor that you've hired to handle the website? What is working and what do you want them to do to fix it?
Well, I think that when we look at the website, we can hear, we get a lot of feedback from the website, from people who are using it. They call the call center, so we're paying a lot of attention to what we're hearing. We certainly hear some cases of people who are able to get through and say, wow, I've heard all this, you know, negative attention, but I'm able to get through. But then I would say we hear also quite a lot about different types of problems that people have. They include during peak times the website not kind of going from page to page, and there are things that we can do to the servers. We have done some, and we can do even more to kind of make that move faster. It also includes error messages, and we've been working with the various companies to change the software to get rid of those error messages or to be more clear about what's going on. So if it were just one thing, that would be easy because we know exactly what we need to fix. It's actually sort of a range of things that cross between the performance and the software issues. And I think that what we're doing is we're working with our contractor to bring additional resources to the project to increase the pace of improvement.
Are you still happy with Noridian Solutions and the work that they've done and the promises apparently that they're making to all of you that they will help?
Well, I mean, as we said last week, I mean, we have not been satisfied with the progress to date, and we're certainly going to be working very closely with them and the new resources to improve the pace of progress and to be able to help more people be able to get through the site.
Is there any chance you can fire them and find someone else in the meantime that can step up and get and handle this better for the state and for all of you?
Well, it's a complicated that's kind of gets into like a different set of questions. I think that the important thing for us right now is that we think that there are